All right, so we've completed two phases of reboot so far. What our church is going to believe about salvation or conversion, the work of God through his Spirit, through his word, and through his people to give people new hearts about his son, how that happens, we've done that. And then we just recently went through what this church believes about the scriptures. That is the voice of God that comes from the very heart of God. That scripture, whether we like it or not sometimes, scripture has final say-so in our lives. Like if we want something and God clearly says another thing, God is right and we are wrong every time, every time. But this is the good thing, that if we listen to God's voice above our voice, above all other voices, what it will do is that it will lead to a lifelong joy and security. Today we're going to begin the third phase of reboot, and we're going to be revisiting what we believe about the church itself. We're going to spend about a month on this. Now, across my 10 years as your pastor, some of you haven't been alive for 10 years yet. Lorea has. And a lot of other, you've been alive a lot longer. But I've discovered this across 10 years as your pastor. Many Christians, number one, they don't actually understand, Christians understand what it means to be a Christian. And then also, many of these Christians don't understand what it means to belong to a church. It's like they enter into a marriage with little to no understanding, like what marriage is about. Like, you don't belong to yourself anymore as a husband or a wife, right? You belong to the other person. Or like this, you decide to learn how to play a sport, and then you just jump into the sport without learning how to do it first. And then at some point, they find, you know what? Jesus isn't doing the things that I want him to do. Or his people aren't doing the things for me that I want them to do. So they get upset, they get frustrated, and then they leave. Jesus' voice is clear about the church. I'll try to say it as simply as possible. Jesus says, if you love me, you will love the church. That's it. Go a little bit deeper, and I want to say it this way. The degree by which you love the church is a mirror that reflects actually how much you love Jesus. You see, Christians form a new people group that's above your own family, that is above your own nation, or wherever you live or whatever you do. And that new group of people is called the church. And they're made up of men and women, and maybe even sometimes boys and girls. Throughout the ages, doesn't matter if you're in Asia or South America or here in Branchton, Florida, that we all trust in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus as our Redeemer. The question that we're seeking to answer in this phase of reboot is this. Who are Christians responsible to? And who are Christians responsible for? That's what we're doing for the next month together as a church family. As Christians, we are responsible to and we are responsible for the church, the community of people that Jesus died for, and that you, if you are a Christian, or if one day, oh, you decide to become a Christian, that you must belong to in a meaningful way than just showing up to church. As a Christian, you are meant to understand your relationship with the God, the King who created all things. He's telling us today in a way that's very similar for you to understand a relationship between sheep and a shepherd, which is kind of cool. Now, the reason why Christians form a new people group called the church is that Jesus says, you and I, we are all like sheep. And like sheep, we all have the same shepherd. Shepherd. Who belong to the same sheepfold. So today, I want you to, really, Branchton, I want you to experience the joy of this and the security of this. That you are safe in Jesus' arms, above the arms of your mom and dad, as if they are strong and mighty. Don't get me wrong. But you are safe in Jesus' arms because he is a shepherd who sacrificed himself for you. I want you to experience the joy of this and the security of this, that you're safe. Let's get to our proposition. So kids, what I mean by proposition, this is kind of like the main idea, the big idea that I hope that God will help you to understand and to believe today. And here's what it is, that Christians look to Jesus as their final authority because he laid down his life for our security. So we need to talk about the word authority. Lorraine went tap, tap. She's helping. Now, here's what you need to know. As adults, we already know this. Probably as kids, you kind of feel this already. We don't like this word authority, do we not? Naturally, we don't like this word authority. We think it's a bad word. We do not want anyone to be an authority over our lives, right? What can I eat? What can I not eat? What time can I go to bed? What can I watch? What can I not watch, right? None of us do. We want to be our own authority. So what's authority? Authority is the power and the right to oversee someone's life. That's what authority is. In our lives, like it or not, we have many authorities, do we not? Now, one of the very first authorities that God has given to us is our parents. And many of us, we have good parents and great parents, do we not? And many of us, we don't have such good parents, and it breaks my heart. As children, and Blast, you can kind of agree with this, you quickly learn that you don't have ultimate power in this life, right? You can't eat what you want when you want. You can't do what you want when you want. You can't stay up as late as you want to stay up, right? You can't cook for yourselves totally, clean for yourselves totally, clothe yourself, go buy the clothes or make the clothes. There's some of you are learning how to sew. That's pretty cool. We need to learn the rules for how to live in this world. Like, don't touch a stove. It'll burn you. Look both ways where you cross the street. And we need people to show us how to do those things. And God has given to you parents. It's a blessing and a privilege to be a parent if God gives you the ability to do so. And when we have good parents, this is what authority does for us. Authority isn't a bad thing. When you have good parents, you know what happens? There is a bond of affection, just deep love, and a bond of allegiance, which means you are committed, you are loyal to them because of their authority in your life. And as we grow older, we come to know, you know what, it's not just my parents that have authority over me. There's a lot of other authorities in our lives, right? Teachers for our education, they give you an A, B, C, D, or F, right? Pass, fail. You move on to fourth grade or you stay in third grade. We have law enforcement who's there for our safety, first responders. We have supervisors who are there to make sure, are you doing your end of the job because we're to give you a paycheck in 2 weeks, and are you doing your job well? But even deeper than this, all people must come to discover that there is a person who has ultimate authority over us, and even deeper authority than our parents, than our teachers, than law enforcement, and that person is God. God is the highest authority in our lives because unlike every other authority, he created all of this. He created your parents. He created law enforcement. He created your teachers. And he is ultimately the one who created you and created me. God is your ultimate authority because he wants you to know him in the deepest way imaginable. This is the promise. You can know that the God who created all things in a deeper way than you can know your parents, than you can know teachers, you can know your friends, anyone. Why? Because God isn't just your creator. Because of Jesus, God is also your shepherd. And that's what today is going to be about. That God is your shepherd. And as a shepherd, Jesus will do anything, and he will pay any cost so that you feel safe and you feel secure and you feel provided for. He will even die for your safety and your provision so you can experience the joy of being safe in your shepherd's arms. So let's get started with John chapter 10, and let's get to our first point. So if you're still taking notes, this is our first point now, okay? And what I want you to see is that Christians, they find security, they feel safe in Jesus' sacrifice as their shepherd. Security, sacrifice, shepherd. Now, in John 10, Jesus wants us to understand the relationship between him and his people like that of a shepherd with sheep. What I want you to see is that Jesus is the shepherd of all the church, of all churches, and he's the shepherd of this church. The church are Jesus' sheep. Let's talk about sheep for a second. Sheep, sheep, bah. We just returned from Scotland. 2 weeks in Scotland, and in our favorite part of Scotland, there is an island that's called Skye. It's where literally where like the mountains meet the sky all the time. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And on this island, sheep run rampant. Rampant. And I want you to take a look at a little snippet. If you're way, way in the back, you're probably not going to be able to make this out because it's in portrait. But Tasa, go ahead and cue it up. Yeah. I want you to see how it's not like cute little sheep and flocks and sheep pens on this island. They're just all over, in the roadways, right, in people's lawns, just everywhere. I honestly think there are more sheep on this island than there are people in the whole of Scotland. Isn't that cute, that little sheep? Did you see that? Cute sheep. All over the place. But it had me thinking. The whole time we were in Scotland. Why is it like Jesus could have said, you know, I don't know, like mama cub, baby cub, you know, like a dad and a son. Why sheep and a shepherd? Out of all ways to help us understand what our relationship is like with him. On this island, we did not see a single shepherd. All of these sheep were just roaming free on their own. It was crazy. It's crazy. They were on the streets. They were on the shores. They were in people's yards. You're trying to drive down the road. Sheep are just sleeping on the road. You just got to stop and hopefully they wake up. That did not sit well with us as we were driving around the island. Because we know sheep need a shepherd, right? And there's no shepherd around. And sheep left to their own devices, they get into some trouble. Christians, even more, need a shepherd. Not just a creator, but a shepherd. And God has given that to us in Jesus. But this is the thing. Christians must set Jesus as their final authority. It's not that what parents say don't matter, what teachers say don't matter. It's just that what Jesus says matters the most in this life. That's what we try to grow towards as Christians. And as Christians, we must depend on the voice of our shepherd, Jesus, through his word, through his spirit, through his people above all. You see, sheep must depend on their shepherd to provide for them. Unless you live on Skye where it's like gorgeous and the grass is greener and thicker and lusher than anywhere else on the planet, I guess. They need safe pasture. Sheep depend on their shepherd for protection. And likewise, as sheep depend on their shepherds for everything, Christians depend on Jesus as their ultimate authority. Listen to how Jesus says this in verse 11. It's very simple for us to understand, young to old. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So we have to ask the question, what does it mean that Jesus is your good shepherd today? What does that mean? And it means that Jesus takes seriously providing for you and protecting you. What you need to understand is, as much as teachers or your parents may love you, Jesus loves you more. And Jesus, no one cares for you like Jesus does. No one. So how serious is Jesus about providing for and protecting people, Christians? Jesus says, I am so serious about it, I will lay down my life for you. That's what he says. Because he's shepherd, and you are sheep. Jesus is God. He didn't just create the whole world, create mountains and rivers and oceans and sheep and basset hounds, and just say, here, go have fun, I'm leaving. He will also, because he loves you and cares for you so much, he would lay down his life for you. This is all about the word sacrifice. Sacrifice. We have to ask the question, what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is this. I will pay the highest cost myself for the best of another person. That's sacrifice. And you know what I think as your pastor? That's the very definition of love. Love is not just romance for a boy or a girl. Love is sacrifice. And to say a big word for a moment, love is not just sacrifice, but it's substitutionary sacrifice. All true love is sacrificing by substituting yourself in another person's place. They get to win because you take the loss. That's true love. Love gives at the greatest cost in place of the loved. All true love is this. I will give and give and give more and more and more of myself for God's best interest in the loved. And you know what? That's best seen in Jesus. We get to see it in our parents, maybe some of our friendships, but we see it best in Jesus. Jesus paid the greatest cost, which was his life, for you as a Christian. And that is why Christians, why we look to Jesus and Jesus alone as our final authority. If our parents say one thing, but Jesus says another, guess what? Your parents are wrong and Jesus is right. If anyone says something that goes against what Jesus says, that any person is wrong and Jesus is right. Jesus, the reason why we believe this, is that Jesus paid the greatest cost for your greatest joy. Joy beyond sports, beyond fun summer activities. Jesus died to secure the greatest joy for you. Jesus died the death that you should have died so you can get to live the life that he lives. So you have to ask the question, why did Jesus sacrifice himself for us? Why? Why do anything at all? In verse 12, the reality is Jesus speaks about a creature called a wolf. Rah! That's not the sound that a wolf makes. I don't even know. What sound do wolves make? Oh! Okay. Yeah, there you go. Now, you may know this already, but wolves love sheep, do they not? Easy snacks, right? Really easy snacks. Sheep are defenseless. They don't have claws to fight back. Some of them have, like, horns, but I noticed, like, they're not sharp. Like, they're not going outward, so they can, like, attack with them, you know? Yeah, they're curved. You know what this means? They are entirely defenseless in hand-to-hand combat. They are entirely dependent on someone to protect them. But this is the reality. A human shepherd can't be out in the fields 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A shepherd has to sleep, right? So Jesus says, you know what? Shepherds, you know what they do? They pay other people to care for the sheep so they can go home, they can sleep, they can eat, they can rest, and come back into the fields. But here's the problem. When shepherds pay another person to take care of the flocks for them, and that person sees the wolf come, that hired person, as Vernon loves to say, he gone, right? He gone. He runs away. Why? Because it's a job, and it's not the person's joy. They don't own the sheep. so they don't love the sheep. So right here, this is where a relationship with Jesus is different. And I hope that you can hear this. God created all things. God owns all things. Jesus, as God, is your creator. And you know what that means? Jesus owns you. Every single one of you, myself included. And students, I hope you can hear this, and this may get me in trouble with maybe some of the people in your life, and that's okay. There are many adults who have a problem with the idea that God owns them because they want to be their own authority. And what I want to say is, that's just silly. All right, think with me for a second. Do y'all like to paint? Okay. When you paint something, who owns it? When you create, you take canvas and color and technique and put it onto something, who does it belong to? Whose ideas? That's right, Maverick. It's ours. Out of the mouth of babes, right? Why? You created it. Your idea. Creators have ownership rights. God is the creator of all things, even you and I. And there are many adults in your life that do have a problem with this. But you tell them that's silly. Anybody who creates something has ownership, just like you do with your own painting. Maverick, you got it right. God created all things. He created the planets, the stars, the universe, the basset hounds, and even those crazy sheep on sky. This means God owns all things. Now, this is the beautiful thing. God not only created you, he loves you so much that he will pay the highest cost to his own life to take care of you. God loves you so much that he would give to you Jesus to be your shepherd in this life. And the question is why? Once again, why would God do this? Because there is a wolf, right, that wants to eat. There is a wolf out there that is hungry. No. He's, come on, North Carolina, say it. He's not hungry, he's hungry, right? So we have to ask right now, what is the wolf? And I don't mean to scare our students. I don't mean to scare you. And I do hope you talk to your mom or your dad or someone who's a Christian in your life about this. I don't mean to scare you. But if Jesus is shepherd and we are sheep, what's the wolf? What's the wolf? A wolf. Now, Jesus uses a wolf as a metaphor, a figurative comparison. You will probably learn about this in fifth grade as you begin to look at poetry. You already learned about metaphor? Oh, good. I'm happy. So what this means is what you know about shepherds and sheep and wolves must be applied to your life. Jesus is shepherd. You are sheep. Something out there is a wolf. What this means is that every Christian has someone or something that wants to snatch them or scatter them from Jesus or to snatch and scatter them away from church. Everyone does. So the wolf is anyone or anything that tries to come in the way of a Christian in Jesus or a Christian from the church. What we need to realize is that wolves are the enemy of the sheep. So yes, and I don't mean to scare you, as a Christian, you have an enemy, a great enemy. And as Christians, you have to know this. You have to know you have an enemy that wants to snatch you and scatter you from Jesus and snatch you and scatter you away from the church. Our ultimate enemy is Satan himself. The sin, the sorrow, and the suffering that he uses to snatch or to scatter us. Satan, Jesus says, he comes for three reasons. He wants to steal, He wants to kill, and he wants to destroy your relationship with Jesus. Jesus says, I, on the other hand, have come so that you can have life. You can have a great life today, tomorrow, and forever. And Jesus is so serious about this because he is your shepherd that he would lay down his life to give you his life. Jesus is your good shepherd because he sacrifices himself. He lays down his life. Now, I want you to take a look at verse 15 for a moment. Verse 15, Jesus says, straight up, right here, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is God who created all things, laid down his life for you, so that when the wolf comes, right? When the wolf comes, he doesn't snack on sheep. He eats the shepherd. So the sheep get to live. When the wolf comes, when Satan comes, when sin and suffering comes our way, Jesus lays down his life so he is snatched up instead of you. As a wolf, Satan wants nothing more than to snatch you from Jesus and to scatter you from his people, the church. And Satan uses sorrow and hurt and suffering and sin as his strategy for this. But Jesus is our sacrifice and our substitute. What our enemy Satan wants to do to you, Jesus takes on to himself instead. And this is why Christians find Jesus to be their ultimate security and not bump, 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 bump on your keypad for ADT. Jesus wants you to know this today and come to know this more and more every day. You are safe when the wolf comes. You are safe when you're hurting. You are safe when you are tired. You are safe when you are grieving, when you are in pain, and when you are in trouble, because Jesus laid down his life for you. He took on what you deserve so you can take on what he deserves. And adults, over the next month in Reboot, we're going to be rebooting our vision about church community. But this is the foundation of it. This is why we are so committed to each other, these brothers and sisters in community in Christ in Branchton. Because we are all sheep who belong to the same shepherd. Christians are the church. We are the sheepfold that Jesus died for. And your devotion to church, the people that Jesus died for, is directly related to your love of Jesus as your good shepherd. If you love Jesus, you will love the church. Now, this is the thing. Jesus' work of shepherding isn't done yet, right? Jesus said this 2,000 years ago, and we're Christians today, which means when he said this, he was not done. There are more sheep that are out there still today that need to hear the voice of their shepherd. There are more sheep out there like on Sky. They're just roaming on the road, in the streets, laying down right in the middle of the road. There's no shepherd around, no one to care for them, no one to provide for them. How will they come to know Jesus as their shepherd? As a Christian, you have a role to play in the lives of others to experience Jesus as their shepherd. And that's our application. Remember, our application, this is all about, what does Jesus want of me today? How am I to think differently, feel differently, act differently in response to this? And this is what I want you to consider. Because of Jesus as your good shepherd, you can trust in his resurrection power. As you're nervous and scared to invite people to consider Jesus as their shepherd, you have real power to rely on and to trust. So we have to ask, what sets Jesus' voice apart from any other voice? What sets Jesus apart from any other relationships, from your teachers, from doctors, from friends, loved ones, family members? It's this. Jesus is a shepherd who died for his sheep, and he didn't just die, he took up his life again. He lived again. This is called resurrection. Jesus died the death that we deserve so we can live the life that he deserves. And I want you today to consider the part that you are meant to play as a Christian to help people consider that Jesus is their shepherd too. The reality is, today, even still today, the wolf is still present. He wants still to snatch and to scatter people, both from Jesus and from the church. We say here, students, that we say here in Branch in our church, that we live in a deeply broken world with broken people, deeply broken. It's like our spines are like really curved, and there's no doctor that can put our spine straight again, except for one, which is Jesus. So how can people today come to know Jesus meaningfully when they're broken and Jesus isn't physically here? Wouldn't that be amazing? This door opens right now and it's Jesus. We don't get that luxury right now. It could come at any moment, but we don't have that luxury right now. So how will people know Jesus? They know his sheep. They know his church. That's how people come to know Jesus as their shepherd. You see, not only are we sheep in a sheepfold, adults to mix metaphors, we're also a body. We're the body of Jesus. So as we've seen throughout Reboot so far, God uses his spirit, he uses his word, and he uses his people to continue the work of Jesus, bringing sheep into the fold. Let's take a look at verse 16 so Jesus can say it. Jesus clearly tells us, I have other sheep. They're not of this fold. And I got to bring them also. They're going to hear my voice. They're going to become one flock with one shepherd. That's pretty clear, right? As the good shepherd, Jesus has a mission. And the mission is to bring all kinds of people from all kinds of places into the same fold, into the church. So today, tomorrow, the rest of our lives, Jesus is working. He's working through his church to help people all over the world come to know him as their shepherd and to belong to the church. So students, have you ever wondered why you have those mission moments where you learn about missionaries in another part of the world? You ever like notice that on Wednesday nights? Because we want you to know that there's all these people out there that need to know Jesus, and many people take it seriously for them to know Jesus. Jesus' mission is to save sheep because they're scattered all over our planet. And he wants to bring them in. And he works through you, his sheepfold, the church. Jesus wants people to hear his voice and to know his voice. So we have to ask, how can people today hear Jesus' voice? Jesus' voice. I hope that's on there somewhere. People hear Jesus' voice through his people who speak his words, scripture, to them. And for a moment, I want you to think about Jesus' voice. I want you to take a look at verses 27 through 29. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they know me, and I give eternal life to them. This is so beautiful. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Why? Because my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That's a beautiful promise, Branchton. I want you to see right now, though you may not feel it, remember that feelings fall short, right? Is it hot or cold in here? No, it's 70. That's pretty amazing. It was 68 at the start of service. A lot of hot air coming out. But I want you to see that sheep, the church, they are a gift of God the Father to Jesus the Son. If you are truly a Christian, you are the Father's gift to Jesus for what he did on the cross. Now, you may say, lousy gift, but your perception of yourself does not diminish how high the Father thinks of you. Are we okay with that, adults? But we also need to see, this is clear, God the Father has given to Jesus a certain number of sheep. Like, there is a sheepfold that only a certain amount of sheep can fit in. And there is this beautiful promise in there that Jesus isn't going to lose a single sheep. They're not going to fall off the cliff into the North Sea. And a crazy tourist from America isn't going to drive over them. Jesus is going to keep safe every single sheep that the Father gave to him. We call this election. We call this irresistible grace. We call this perseverance of the saints. The bloodlines, adults, we call Calvinism. But right now, I want you to see the security and the joy of knowing and loving Jesus' voice. I want you to see the security of being safe in your shepherd's arms. And what we see right here is that every shepherd has a voice. That makes sense, right? If you have a voice box, you have a voice. Now, our beloved Terry is a cattleman. His cows are not home right now. They just had a baby. So cute. All black, white tail, right? Or is it the other way around? I forgot. All black, white tail. Can't wait to see it. He's not at home right now. Hopefully he brings him home soon. But when he wants their attention, he yells out, and many of you may have experienced, he yells out, come on, right? And you'll see, especially Squirt, stampeding, because he knows, she knows it's dinner time. When I was in Scotland, when I see a flock of sheep, this is what I would do. I'd walk up to him and I'd go, what's up, my babies? And one would go, like, literally, like, phew. And that was our running. And then the whole herd would run away. Made me very sad. All I wanted to do was, like, feed them. But why do they run away? I'm not their shepherd. They don't know my voice. I don't know if they would ever get used to my voice because sheep are sheepish, but... but because this world is broken, and because you and I are broken, we come into this world not knowing the voice of our shepherd, not knowing the voice of Jesus. God created you to know and to hear the voice of Jesus as your shepherd. Now, students, for a moment, this may make some people upset to say this to you, but that's okay. There are a lot of voices out there that you can listen to. They'll tell you how you should feel, what you should believe, who you are, that you can change anything about yourself. There are so many voices out there that you can listen to. You have video games. Why video games want to do this? I don't get it. Why TV shows want to do this? I don't get this. But you have video games, TV shows, music, social media, movies, books, all of these voices out there trying to tell you this is who you are, this is how you should feel, but this is what I want you to remember. Not just our students, adults too, because we struggle with this too. Our screen time on social media proves it. None of these voices created you, right? None of them. None of them. None of these voices died for you. Those voices would never sacrifice themselves for you. Never. And even if they did, none of these voices can live again for you. Do you get that? You have to remember two things. Only one voice ultimately created you, and only one voice sacrificed himself for you, and that's Jesus. And those who listen to his voice, who know Jesus as their shepherd, who follow Jesus as their shepherd, Jesus says right there, I give eternal life to them. Eternal life is this. God, who created all things, who is life, died and lived again. So those who he created, when they die, they will live again. All who listen to, love, and follow Jesus will die. They will, just like anybody else. Oh, but they will live again. The Christian Jesus promises will never perish. Do you see this? They will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand and Jesus' hand. That's how safe and secure you are in your shepherd's arms. And that is what we mean by resurrection power. Resurrection power. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead. As your shepherd, Jesus will provide and protect you through all things, even death, to life again. Because of the resurrection, you must know, trust, and love Jesus' voice. I think this is my last scripture. Yes. Verse 17 and 18. Jesus says, "This is the reason the Father loves me, because I laid down my life so I can take it up again." That's resurrection. I lay it down to take it up. Now listen to Jesus. He says, "No one has taken my life from me. I laid down my life on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Jesus is the most powerful person in the universe because he's God, he created all things, and he laid down his life for those that he loved. The wolf, came and devoured Jesus. He died, and then came back to life. And no one else can claim that. But what Jesus says right here is that no one forced me to die. I decided to die for those that I love. Jesus willingly died to protect his sheep, the church. Jesus took the cross in order to take what sin and sorrow and suffering and evil would have done to all of us. This is why Jesus is the best voice to listen to and to follow. I'm not saying don't listen to music or don't watch TV, but I'm saying the voice you should listen to above all things is Jesus himself. Jesus has ultimate power over life and over death. And he proves this by taking on the death that we deserve so you can take on the life that he deserves. And there is no other person out there that can claim that they love you so much that they would take on all the evil in your life. They would die for you. And you do have some people that would do that. And I hope your mom and dad would be one of them. But they don't have the power themselves to die for you and then to live again themselves. Only Jesus. You can trust Jesus above all other voices because of his resurrection. So, how can people hear all of this? Jesus is not physically present. I don't think he's going to walk through this door in a couple minutes. As amazing and humbling that would be. People hear the voice of Jesus through the voice of his people. I pray you heard it over this time today. If you are a Christian, you know what that means? That is you. You are the voice that people need to know about Jesus as their shepherd. As a Christian, what a tremendous privilege and honor you have. Jesus, your shepherd, wants to call more sheep into his sheepfold through you. You are a shepherd who becomes, you're a sheep who becomes a shepherd. Jesus wants to use you, a single Christian, to help people to know him as their shepherd. This is all about church community right now. Every Christian should be a part of a sheepfold, a local church. They're not meant just to be roaming the island, just doing whatever they want to do. That's not sheep life. It's unreal. That's why it bothered us so much. This means that you and every single Christian on this planet, whether it's here in our church or in Asia or in Africa or South America or Australia or China or Iran, doesn't matter where. Christians of all places belong to each other in the most deep and meaningful way possible. All of this is the pasture of Jesus, and we belong to one flock, the church. As a Christian, you are meant to belong to Jesus and to one another through church community. The church is one flock, scattered around the world with one shepherd with one goal. We want as many people as possible to know Jesus as their shepherd who laid down his life for them. We want as many people in our lives, our family members, our friends, our classmates, our co-workers, to come to know Jesus as their shepherd. Do we not? As many of them as possible. Why? Because the wolf is real. The wolf is real. Sin, suffering, evil, injustice, they are real. And left alone, it will snatch us and scatter us. So as we reboot Branchton and prepare for another 10 years together, this is the basis of where your pastor is coming from church community. You and I have something deeply in common that's beyond our age, that's beyond our family ties, and it's beyond our common interests. We have Jesus as our shepherd, and he saved us by laying his life down. And you and I are safe, completely safe in our shepherd's arms. As Christians, you are responsible too, and you are responsible for the church, because Jesus loved and died and lived again for the church. This is the foundation of church community that we adults are going to be exploring in the weeks to come. Together we have a singular mission. Do what we can do so the people in our lives are put in a position to hear the voice of Jesus, the shepherd who took on sin and suffering and evil and death, by taking all of those things upon himself. And that's the preaching of God's word. Amen. Amen.